Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Let's do it. 5 o'clock hour.
Oh no, Cardinal Sin in the studio, and we are prone to doing this. We've done in the past. No TVs on at all, no World Series.
Really?
We are lacking focus. Both of the TVs work now, too. This is a big update.
When were they not working?
There was a while the second TV didn't work. No big deal. So, I mean, we just kind of proved their point. They're like, you don't need the TVs in here. I cried and whined and peed and moaned years ago because there are a couple days you need a big TV setup. Now, generally, we're on the road. These Findlay Toyota Studios are wonderful. They just redid them. It's great. It's comfy. But NCAA tournament, like day one and two?
Yeah.
I need my games.
You need more than just two TVs.
I know. The audience, well, you can split the screens now.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's a ways off.
There it is.
Now, that said, college basketball starting up here. There's, have you looked at the card for Monday? It's like 85 games.
I have not.
Come on, get ready.
I'm going to be honest.
This is your job. We have to deliver on a tease, Griffin. Griffin's here. He does a wonderful job. When we go to break, I want to give away basketball tickets. Okay?
Absolutely.
Now, on Monday, the place to be is the Thomas and Mack. UNLV's opening up against Alabama State before a game next Saturday against Memphis. And you're going to get a chance to see a lot of the first-time Rebels, JUCOs, freshmen, veteran transfers. And it's probably a unit that's not going to be playing with DJ Thomas. You're going to see some guys be really tested because he's got an ankle injury. We'll see if he can recover. I wouldn't rush it for an Alabama State game.
Right.
But you're going to see the versatility of this team, like how deep they can go, especially at point guard, because not only is DJ Thomas out, but Jace Whiting, who they brought in to be the backup from Boise, he's dinged up.
So at a 7 p.m. tip-off?
No, it's later.
Oh, gosh.
It is an 8:30 start. So you got plenty of time. And I will not accept...
I'm glad you look at it
I will not accept any complaints about when games are starting and tips and your families. I don't care. Be a fan.
Yeah,
I have no tolerance for any excuses anymore.
You're from the East Coast. As I'm watching the game last night, I'm like... How are they all still at the game? Those are good fans.
You try to be. But yeah, UNLV with about a half a new squad, and that's kind of the way it works now. They're going to be playing on Monday night, and there's still ticket specials at unlvtickets.com. That Memphis game is going to be a really big one. Again, I don't know if DJ Thomas will be back, and then they've got a good competitive non-con schedule where they're going to go on the road to Creighton. Uh-oh, they're going to want revenge.
Again.
And Pop Isaac is on that team. Vegas guy. And then they're going to go to Dayton, which can be a living hell.
Yep.
That's an ancient historic arena. That'll be a good trip. And before that, they have a double dip on Thanksgiving and Black Friday. So good stuff coming up and a very competitive Mountain West Conference season.
They've really upped it in their non-con games, huh? I know they've had like one big one every year, but that was a pretty impressive slate you just ran off.
It's a good run.
Yeah.
It's a good run. We'll see what else they're bringing in terms of competitive teams. Dotted the non-con with schools like Pepperdine and Omaha.
Women's, are they still projected to be number one again?
They were picked number one in the Mountain West Conference. Obviously, it'll feel really weird without Desiree Young, who seems to have been there for 9 years, but she has moved on. But I don't know. Should I bring this to the air or not? Because the person I addressed didn't really say anything in reaction. I saw at the football game, and she's been to all the games, I saw Coach Lindy LaRock, and, you know, you're getting kind of hyped up, you know. UNLV football is in a good position, but right. Then, you know, you look out there and you're like, freaking Boise! Right? You know, like the powers that rule the conference. And it's Boise State in basketball is close, but he's got to win in the tournament. It's San Diego State where you're like, God, they gotta beat San Diego State. That's the enemy. And I looked at her and I'm like, you're the enemy for everyone else. I'm like, that must be a good feeling. And they are.
Yes.
They were picked first again. I think they got whatever the total was, 18 of like 24 first place votes, something like that. And they bring back a really good crew, especially at guard. And they have bigs who, you know, haven't necessarily had to score in the past. They're gonna score now, but It's going to be a good team.
It's amazing what she's done there in such a short period.
And doing a really good job on a recruiting trail as well.
Yes.
What are we going to ask, Griffin? You're looking.
No. Just a little behind the scenes. Just making sure everything's okay. Good.
You're interested.
Double checking.
Were you interested in the topic?
In the topic?
Come on. You're supposed to just say yes. That was riveting.
It was riveting. I'll give you all that.
Okay. We went to break after doing our Eye on Sports Gambling, and it's brought to you by Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Trop. Today is Taco Tuesday. Or is it Wednesday? What day is today?
Oh, Steve, it's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. Oh, damn. Tonight's prime rib night. That's as good or better.
That's better.
Prime rib night. I got all those memorized, right? The phone's black. I don't have a copy in front of me. I just know the menu over there. So go check it out. Find more information on Instagram, Oasis Bar and Grill. And I would read down the whole menu, but we don't have time. But we love those guys over there. And we will be there next Tuesday. You know what next Tuesday is, right?
What you just said, college football.
Yeah. Also?
Also?
Griffin, you should know what next Tuesday is. It's the deadline for you, buddy.
Oh. Deadline for me to do my civic duty.
You should. It's election night. So we'll be there leading into election coverage. And then we'll see what we do after that. I don't know who's on the show. Next Tuesday and Wednesday are really crucial, vital staffing days. The election means a lot to some people. I mean, it should mean a lot to all of us. But yeah, we'll be out there 3-6 at Oasis on Decatur, south of Trop. We're going to talk some baseball play-by-play. We're going to talk some Rebel football, Runner Rebel basketball, and some Dodgers. Matt Neverett will be with us. He might know someone who has like insider knowledge of the Dodgers. I think he has plans to go to a game 6 in the series, if there is one.
I'm sure he does.
I don't know what he's rooting for here.
Yeah.
I think he's mostly a Pirates fan, but because they have ties, familial ties to the Dodgers, I think he kind of roots for the Dodgers too. So
I think so too.
He's got to support the Dodgers. It's it'd be a little bit of a betrayal if he wasn't, no?
Well, I mean, Tim, his father, also is first and foremost a Red Sox fan. See, just because you work for a team doesn't mean you know.
That is true.
Like if you were a New York Giants fan your whole life and then you work with the Raiders, if you're fully a Raiders fan, come on, give me a break. No one would do that.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I work for the Raiders part-time outside of this. But I will say it has made these last 2 years of working with them, I have found myself really wanting the Raiders to do well.
Oh, wow.
And actually getting a little hurt when they don't, which has been kind of often the last 2 years.
Well, you know, the Bears have left the door open, haven't they?
Whoa.
And are they going to be the Chicago Bears in the future or somewhere 80 miles away?
Oh, the Raiders.
Not really in Chicagoland.
Oh, the Raiders are miles away from getting where the Bears are at right now.
There's a lot of passion there.
Oh, yeah.
We never asked you, where were you watching the Hail Mary
Great question.
What did you do?
In the sanctity of my bedroom alone with the lights off. Oh, wow. I was so distraught. I was hurt. I freaking, these Bears, man. These Bears will put you through it.
I had a Raider. I'll mention the team is the Jets. They're my team. But I had a Jets game against the Raiders back in the day. I'd have to look it up. But Jets blew a big lead and the Raiders won at the end of the game. And I remember going outside, I had a bat and just beat on a garbage can. I kicked it. It was like so childish. I was probably like 27 when that happened.
It hurts so bad. I've had moments like that with the Bears. I've had moments back when Connor was still fighting. I'd go out to parties or watch parties with my big Irish flag around my shoulders just for Khabib to whoop him or Floyd Mayweather to whoop him or even Dustin Poirier to whoop him. And I just had to sit there with my flag and get scrutinized for all the mess I talked.
I've never had that happen with fights. I've never gotten into it that much.
I've actually seen
media members at UFC fights cry after someone lost. Like they got so tight with the fighter.
Oh, okay. So, maybe off air you got to tell me the details about that.
I don't remember the person. I just remember someone crying and I'm like, I am never doing that. And we used to do a lot of stuff with Frank Trigg. Like Trigg hosted some MMA shows with us. We were, you know, we considered ourselves pretty good friends. Yeah, he had a Matt Hughes fight that he was very competitive in and kind of he had the advantage. And then Matt Hughes went full Matt Hughes and wound up choking him out. And I was like, it sucks. But I didn't cry.
Right. My fandom.
But here's the thing. I'm not like anti-crying. I told you a couple years ago the draft that had Trevor Lawrence in it. Maybe I overreacted based on how Trevor Lawrence has played. I didn't know the Jets were going to get Zach Wilson, but when the Jets took themselves out of the mix for the first pick, I did cry. I sat there and just weeped. I'm like, we are never getting a quarterback. As it turned out, Trevor Lawrence is just okay.
You dodged the
bullet. Or is he in a bad
situation? Is he in a bad spot? Okay.
He's got a Super Bowl winning coach.
I don't know. Something's going on there in Jacksonville.
They're showing some signs. Okay, well, that's a good jumping off point. Do you believe the Jags still have plenty of life? They're going to play the Eagles, and the Jags are getting 7.5. These are my leans and likes. So you can shoot them down one or maybe two of these if Griffin doesn't answer again for circa million. One or two of these. Well, yeah, your phone's up and running. So
I did have to adjust the Jags up a little bit because they are showing a little life. I thought that the Packers were going to just blow them out, even with them being at home. And that didn't happen. Of course, Jordan Love did leave that game. But I don't know. The Eagles are looking good again now that they've got their two healthy wide receivers. So that one's a little scary. But I wouldn't lay the 7.5. I teased the Eagles down. So maybe that is a good lean right there.
You limit your teasers to two teamers?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, wow.
I just kind of round robin them.
Oh, okay.
So.
How's that working out this year?
Not bad. I don't really have a record on it.
Have you been teasing down road favorites? Because for a while, that was money.
I know, road favorites.
It turned around a little bit the last couple weeks.
It did this last week, especially.
That gravy train crashed, burned. Okay, so you don't love that one. All right.
No, I don't. I don't know.
That's fine.
I don't know.
I just want the input.
I'm kind of nervous about that Patriots one, though.
Okay, Patriots +3 at Titans. We had the number that I think it's now 0-5 straight up ATS the week after facing the Lions. Teams are just brutal. Yep. Titans just got their ass kicked.
I think it's higher than 0-4 now.
Is it really?
Okay. Yeah.
And at the time before last week, the team after they played the Lions failed to cover by an average of 26 points. So not only do they look bad and they're beat up, they get slaughtered. So what will happen to the Titans? Or are we getting
Patriots
a little
shouldn't have won that game.
Are we getting a little too fired up about
the Pats? You watched that game. Yeah, getting a little too fired up about the Pats. And I don't think Drake May will play. And the Titans, if you look at the box score.
Is that a bump up for the Patriots?
I don't know.
You don't think Jacoby Brissett's better than Drake May?
No.
I'm not saying he's a world beater. Okay.
More experience. He's got that.
Yeah.
But we were seeing good signs from Drake May. And actually moving that
off. So don't take the Patriots +3 against the Titans.
If you look at the box score, it really wasn't. I mean, yards for yards against the Lions, it should not have been a blowout like that.
That was a little weird when your quarterback throws for 85 yards and you score 1,000 points.
Yeah.
Odd. Return game helps that. Turnovers help that.
Exactly.
Browns +1 against the Chargers. It's been going down. Browns at home.
That's tough.
I will admit I'm not objective on the Browns because I'm not objective on Jameis Winston. I love the man.
I know. I'm with you. I mean,
he's so much fun. I want to root for him. But I also don't want to get so fired up that, it probably wasn't just a Deshaun Watson problem. I think a big part of it was Deshaun Watson, but
right.
The Browns have other issues.
And they had their one game where they're fired up to have Jameis Winston and see if they can get their offense going. And then they kind of fall back to reality thing?
The rally around the backup quarterback.
Yes.
Bump that you get sometimes.
Yes.
Okay.
And I already told you I'm kind of high on the Chargers.
I like this one when it was 3.5. Okay. Commies 3.5 against the Giants.
Giants
are home. You're going to lay even 3.5.
That hook doesn't kill you that much anymore.
Okay. Why is that?
False. I don't know.
It's not as key a number as it used to be?
My dad did go back and look the last few years, and no, it wasn't.
It was our friend Kenny White? Okay.
Yes. I'll get the actual number for you for next time.
Oh, I want that. I definitely want that number.
Yes.
Wait, are you going to chime in here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you going to make a pick this week?
Well, I'm looking at the list right now.
I know, right? Yeah. Give me your pick right now. You have to decide right before the number set, by the way, because the circuit number doesn't come out until tomorrow.
Can I address the one pick that really stands out to me on your list?
Of course.
I'm looking here and I'm seeing Cardinals pick Bears. So you're saying you're picking the Cardinals just straight up who wins?
Yes, it's Cardinals at home. It's a pick now against the Bears. The number has moved.
Can I interest you in a possible change of mind on that one?
You can do anything you want.
Think about the way
we do this is you guys get to make the first four picks, and then whoever's left for me, I make the pick.
Well, I'm picking the Bears no matter what to get this dub because of what happened against the Commanders. The Commanders are a good team, so losing to a good team isn't necessarily a huge stain on a coach's record. But Matt Eberflus, I feel like, has been a little bit on the hot seat, honestly, since he got hired, being a defensive coordinator, his background. And now you go from losing to the Commanders. You're about to play the Cardinals, one of these last easy games for them in the early part of their schedule, right before the real juggernaut of their schedule gets started. I think it's a must-win for the Bears. It's a must-win for Eberflus this week against those Cardinals.
All right.
What do we do with the Cardinals?
Well, first of all, time marked at 5:15. This will be played back on Monday, either you bragging or you being embarrassed.
If I'm right, it's going to be a rejoin. If I'm wrong, it'll just be something you throw to.
Oh, if it's right, you should do like three Bears highlights and really accentuate it.
Oh, don't get me started.
If you're wrong, you're going to hear it because where is a big problem. The where do, there's pressure. That handicapping generally doesn't work.
I agree.
But it's your pick. You do what you want.
I'm standing firm on it.
Bears pick them on the road.
Yep.
I do like it because I don't know what to do with the Cardinals because they've had so many. So is this good or bad? They've had so many comeback wins that they weren't supposed to win. But is that actually a good thing? Because now they've showed that they can hang around and do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they've managed to win a few games that they really had no business doing.
I feel like it's the Bears' defense is very, very good this season. I think that if the Bears get it done, it's going to be a low-scoring affair because, again, the offense has gotten a little bit more sure-footed, but the offense for the Bears is still trying to find their way. The defense has been what's been keeping them in these games. It's been helping them to maintain leads, let the offense kind of catch their breath. So I think if the Bears' defense can do what it's shown to be capable of, I think it's an easy pick.
It is the better defense of the two teams.
Seahawks. Boy, I was really disappointed by that Bills game.
Yeah,
that surprised me.
That's an understatement.
Which I guess is a big notch on the belt of the Bills. Seahawks, boy, oh boy, the Rams are getting, what do you have them power rated? They're getting some real respect from the books here.
Yeah, they are. I don't have them that high.
Rams won against the Seahawks. It's in Seattle.
Yeah. Hmm. And as long as DK Metcalf is back, I think that's a good play with the Seahawks. You just don't know. I mean, we see a great game from them against the Falcons and then a no-show against the Bills. So, but I think at home, get Metcalf back, I think that is a good play.
Alex White, SoPo Studios. Griffin's here. It's Cofield. Leans and likes for the NFL in week number 9. That's right. KC's 5-2 against the spread, huh? It has seemed so underwhelming. Seems like they haven't covered any spreads. They're 5-0 in one score games. Their biggest victory was by 13 points. Bucks are now getting 9.5 against Kansas City in KC.
That's a stay away.
Why?
I mean, the Bucks looked pretty good last week without their Mike Evans, their two best wide receivers, and Mike Evans and
Godwin.
But can they do it again? And now there's film out there and give Andy Reid some time to prep. I don't know, but that's a big number, NFL.
All right, most important question of this portion of the program. Will anyone from Cofield & Company be dressing up for Halloween? You've had 2 hours to think about it. We did, I think, hear a snitch on the show before us. The once-a-week Wednesday award-winning, I almost called to throw the flag. What is the show called now? Because do they debate anymore?
The arena?
Well, they just come in and
it's a
little bit.
Oh, it is a touted debate every single time.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I got to do an episode a couple weeks ago.
Months ago.
A couple weeks ago.
Oh, I feel like they've changed the format.
Nah, it's still good, good honest debate, sports topics, a bunch of other pop culture topics.
Salerno said that he's very fired up. Tomorrow we're at Circa, at Stadium Swim. He said he was very fired up. That's a Yankees home run. Oh, boy. Did they need that?
And Judge?
Oh, yeah.
Dang. I got real quiet there.
I want to stay calm. All right. 2-run homer by Judge. They're back. Here we go. Game 6. Calm down. That was the other way. Judge finally breaks.
Yes.
off, out, onto the Schneid, whatever Schneid, he's out for now. Uh-oh. Okay, 2-0, Yankees bottom first. You and I are both in we'll think about it mode. I think I'm going to do something. It might be a very lazy chuck on a wig. I could do a wig, a mask, a flannel, and bring my chainsaw down there. We'll circle it in.
If they want us to put on a really great show, they'll let you.
Extension cord. I'm very inspired by being at Oregon State Stadium a couple weeks ago. I don't think you'll understand what that stadium is until you're there, and they keep playing a chainsaw noise because they have the beavers and the wood and all that.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It's infuriating and yet exhilarating. They play it all the time.
I worked that game back here in the studios, and I just remember talking to Matt and Caleb saying, man, that stadium looks amazing, especially in the fall and October. The football environment of it all, it looked amazing.
Now, last year I ran out of time for Halloween, but I had already started taking out my Christmas stuff, so I went down as like a Christmas character because I was like, I have this. And then people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, Mr. Christmas. That's stupid. What are you doing?
I was just thinking, if I'm going to dress up tomorrow, I think the only thing I have in my closet right now is a big red onesie. I don't know what that costume could be, but I mean, it's kind of what I got at the moment.
Do they do anything at Circa? Is there a costume contest or anything?
They do have contests, yes. And Legacy Club's doing something big. By the way, 3-0. Sorry, I got distracted while you were asking me. There you go, Jazz Chisholm. There you go. I told you. I told everyone at the beginning of the show he's going to break out. I didn't say that, did I? I didn't mention any of this. I was not confident at the start of the show. All right, good start. 3-0. World Series game number 5. Trying to get to game number 6. This has only happened 3 times. 24 teams have been down 3-0. 21 had been swept, so we'll see what... it's Flaherty too, huh? Not a good start. Garrett Cole on the other side. I'm going to leave it at that. Garrett Cole sometimes, he's awesome, but come on, bruh. Come on. As baseball fans, not even as a Yankee fan, we want to see Game 6 and potentially Game 7. Yes. I'm sorry, Dodger fans. I'm going to tell you right now. I'll tell you in the grab bag. I saw some fan behavior yesterday, and I was disgusted by it.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Update on the 5 teams we're picking in Circa Million. Bears were blocked. Bears were blocked. Justin Watkins, I just noticed a text at 5:05. He said, sorry, he's on the Cardinals, so we'll have to decide. Is it a no play, or does Justin get the Cardinals but no Bears? Sorry. So now the clock's ticking again for Griffin to get in his pick, which he has gotten in once in 8 weeks.
You'll be getting that pick before you leave this station today.
You can't. You got to see the numbers. The numbers could be completely different tomorrow. I'm lying. They're not going to be completely different, but I'll send over the numbers tomorrow. Thursday morning is when Circa comes out with the locked-in numbers for Circa Million. Let's bring in Matt and Everett. Alex White is here. Matt's up with us to talk a little Rebel football with the week off. Maybe a little bit of off-the-cuff broadcaster bites. Running Rebels are going to start up next Monday. And, of course, there is baseball. He is the voice of the Aviators. Matt, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing well. Happy to join you guys. Yeah, keeping half of an eye on this this World Series matchup as well.
When's the last time? Can you see if you can find Sterling's call from yesterday that we had loaded up? Matt, when's the last time you completely, and this is nothing against John Sterling because it's hard to see the ball. When's the last time you can remember thinking a ball was crushed in an Aviators game, making it into a big call, and you're like, can of corn?
Been there, done that. You know, maybe not necessarily to the level of John Sterling.
Yes,
I don't think
Series.
I've gotten into the, it is high, yeah. It is deep, it's caught on the warning track. Yeah. I don't think I've ever been duped that badly, but there have been times, if you know what you're listening for, yeah, drive to right, way back, and caught at the track.
Okay, it happens. I'm you know what, I like the full disclosure. I'm like that you're
of course
able to
Although
shame yourself
never been,
a little bit.
I've never been domed by a foul ball like he did earlier this year.
Not yet.
But not yet, yeah. Long way to go.
If you have a long career, it could happen, and you will have a long career. Let's start out talking baseball first. I think I said this correctly earlier. You kind of need to root for the Dodgers to lose tonight, and then I think you want the Dodgers to win the series, but do you have a personal stake in this?
Outside of my dad, not a ton.
Are you not going to game 6?
I am going to game six. There that is the personal stake. And the thing is I booked a hotel for the night. I'm going out there anyway on Friday night, whether we're watching a game or celebrating a World Series win. At this point, it looks like we might be going out there to watch game six. Yeah, really exciting. And growing up a lifelong Red Sox fan as a kid, too. But definitely a couple of different things at play for me in this series.
What would you do in L.A.? I mean, there's lots of things to do. What do you do if they win this and there is no game six?
Definitely going to go get some food, check out a couple of places. It's getting into the mode of broadcaster bites. You kind of brought that up. I started pulling a Cofield and starting to look at restaurants as like the first thing I do when I'm looking to go places. I've been wanting to check out Malibu. I've never been out there. So I think one way or another, I'm going to go check out Malibu, get on the beach, even if it's for a 10-minute walk or something like that.
All right. Alvera Street. Good Mexican. Come on now. No?
We'll see.
He's out. Okay. Matt Nevert's with us. Okay, what do you think is going to happen? This is a 3-0 game. Are we going to see an? What did you think that Gerrit Cole was going to go out tonight and just be the nuts and get to 7 or 8? Because obviously, starting off the second here, he's got a 3-0 lead, and I don't know that Flaherty's going real long after that first inning.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of alluded to it earlier. You had mentioned it's Gerrit Cole in a big spot, and he hadn't necessarily, had anything in recent years, at least really since he was a Cy Young with the Astros, where he really laid it all out on the line, and pitch his ass off in the postseason, especially. This game could be that. I think the offense last night for the Yankees kind of buoyed them with a little bit of confidence coming in. I mean, game three, I was ready to call it a sweep after the fifth inning of game three because of how anemic the Yankees looked offensively and just how dominant the Dodgers looked overall. But, I mean, anything's possible. It's the best of the two teams. I think this is a weak American League overall. Yankees kind of the best of the worst in that sense. Nothing against, some of these other teams. But when the final four is the Yankees and the three American League Central small market teams, it's a weak field overall, especially when you get deeper into the playoffs.
Or maybe that means baseball is healthier than ever.
It depends who you ask. I think Rob Manfred, as much as he pitches that and would like to be able to claim that, I think he was foaming at the mouth when the possibility of a Dodgers-Yankees World Series came to be.
Matt, what'd you think of Freddie Freeman? 4 home runs in the first 4 games of this World Series.
Yeah, and 6 in a row dating back to his last 2 games, last time he played in the World Series with the Braves a handful of years ago. They say big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games, and Freddie Freeman showing that, and then some. He is banged up. I think the parallels to the Kirk Gibson home run, they are there. I think that angle was a little bit overhyped. Just because of the historical context, because of what Kirk Gibson meant to that team. People forgot that Kirk Gibson was the MVP of the National League that year in 1988. Freddie Freeman, no disrespect, had himself an all right year by his standards, which is better than just about anybody else that plays the first base position right now. This is an example of, putting it all out on the line in the playoffs. You got to play. You got to play whether you're banged up. If you're a guy like Freddie Freeman, and who needs 2 good ankles anyway? Not me. I can hit 6 home runs in 6 games with 1 ankle, right?
I'm so glad you said that. And I like Joe Davis. I'm not getting on him, but
it was a great call.
Well, we're so prone to try to romanticize things and connect baseball today to the past. And you mentioned it with Freddie Freeman. I mean, the biggest thing is, the setup for the Gibson home run, the backdrop was the guy couldn't move. He couldn't move. Freddie Freeman is in pain, but he can run. Like, it's not the same level of injury. And I don't know. On the emotional part of it, maybe Freddie Freeman means a lot. Maybe not as much as Gibson did back then. But, I thought it was – we all – they wanted to kind of get you caught up in that moment of Dodgers back and look where the home run was and similar calls. So – whatever. I shouldn't rain on the parade. I shouldn't act like a Yankee fan here. Now, that said, we opened up the first hour, talked about it in the second hour, the 2 jabronis down the right field line for the Yankees. Is that a fun moment, or is that disgusting and baseball has got to clean things up?
I would say the latter, even if it wasn't a bunch of Yankees fans. That's kind of what a lot of America comes to expect from anybody rocking the interlocking NY. It is a possibility for a fun moment ruined by those guys being selfish and just reacting like a jabroni. I think that's the way to put it. It's not a term that fits well often, but this one does. That could have gone bad in a hurry. The guy grabbing the glove is bad enough, but how about his buddy trying to rip away Mookie's offhand you know, what if he breaks a finger? What if he misses and or breaks his wrist or something like that? I mean, I saw one on Twitter the other day, or yesterday rather, and it was actually a guy that I saw at Las Vegas ballpark working out 3 days ago. He said Tommy Pham would have scaled that wall and right and murdered those two guys.
Oh my God, yes.
Mookie's handled it like a pro, though. That's
been
one
very nice. Yeah, Tommy Pham is prone to he's fiery. We'll just say that.
You would have slapped him like you slapped Jock Peterson.
I was going to say if you think he won't fight you, he will fight you. He's ready to throw at any moment. So those guys aren't at the game tonight. Wouldn't that be a hoot if they have enough money to fly out to L.A. and pay big money and they'll be in the crowd in L.A.? I was joking earlier. If they can get seats along that right field line in the left field line with a 2-foot wall, you better get some balance out there, because I think the Dodger fans, after seeing what happened with the Yankees fans, are going to be fired up right along that wall.
All the Dodgers fans have to do is pretend that they're Padres or Giants fans, and they'll be right at home kicking the crap out of them.
There you go. All right. Well, you're playing into the rivalry there. I like that. Okay, I'm going to go around the room virtually as well with Matt on the horn here, and we're watching him on video. I'm going to go to Alex first. I want to set this up by saying the folks at Fox 5 and Silver State Sports and Entertainment Network, wonderful. But I walked in to do a TV taping today, and I got this vibe that the 6-2 UNLV football team, like, well, good job, good effort. Like, wait, there's still 4 games left. Matt, what's your attitude on the rest of the way? And this is, it's also important. I don't know what the mood of the team is. They've got a week off here. Do they come back firing all cylinders? Do they still have a potential malaise about what we would call the dream killer? Maybe that CFP berth is, you know, gone, 99% gone. There's an outside shot. What do you think about the rest of the Rebel season?
You kind of alluded to it at the end there. There still is that outside chance of the college football playoff. The dream is not dead. The issue is just right now they don't control their own destiny. And as of right now, they wouldn't host the Mountain West Championship game either, which would be a huge deal, especially to get a third crack at Boise State at Allegiant Stadium in a one-year stretch. At this point, doesn't look like that's in the cards with Boise State and also Colorado State, a perfect 3-0 in Mountain West play, and actually in first place in the conference. Those two, one of those two very likely at this point going to host the Mountain West Championship game. They don't play each other. So if Boise wins out, it would be up on the Smurf Turf in Albertson Stadium in early December. And I do think that coming back off the bye, they're going to be more healthy at the very least, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So that should allow them with a couple of guys, if they're able to get Jalen Dixon back at all in any capacity. And I don't know if that's in the cards for this game 2 weeks from now against Hawaii on the road. But, you know, you'll get a more healthy Marcel McDuffie. He was basically playing on 1.5 legs out there. He really, really struggled, did not look fully 100% healthy. Also some guys on the offensive side banged up a bit. So from the health perspective, I think that'll make a big deal. They're going to play assignment football against this Hawaii team that runs the ball pretty well, but has struggled offensively compared to their standards of years past. I think it's a matchup that UNLV is going to go out there and pick a number. They're going to go hit it offensively and defensively. I don't know. I'll be interested to see. It's funny, as you guys know, just how quickly this goalpost has moved, so to speak, yep, as far as the expectations. It's like, wow, 3 years ago, 6 wins was awesome for an entire season. Now that's the expectation at this point. And I think that just speaks to what Barry Odom has done and just been consistent about the messaging. That's what he's been saying for all the time that he's been here, almost 2 full years. This is the expectation.
You read my mind on the goalpost. So You're an App State guy. Alex went to UNLV. She was an athlete at UNLV. Where are you on the whole goalpost thing? Like, how did you feel when the Rebels lose a game to go to 6-2? That means the CFP spot might be out of reach. You down in the dumps? Or, because I'll bring up, and I know he doesn't mind, because this is his role in the Vegas media. The Eeyore of the Vegas media is Ray Brewer. And Ray was talking about what happened this season so far, and he was like very fired up about getting 42,000 and making a bowl game. And I'm like, so you're going to be fine if they win 7 games? Like, I just wonder where UNLV people are right now, because anything has been something. Like, you're just happy to have anything. But I think with success comes new expectations. Now, it doesn't mean the season's over. You're not Alabama.
Right. I have new expectations.
What are you going to be happy with what's going to make you happy? Like, obviously, if they went winless from here, you can be mad.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But they made a bowl game. They never make back-to-back bowl games. Like, who cares? Well, they're a good team.
Matt just said it perfect. I mean, if Boise is hosting the Mountain West Championship, that's the new expectation. I mean, they tried twice at home and it didn't work out. So now go to the Smurf Turf and beat them there to win the Mountain West Championship. I think that's the expectation now. I was actually surprised. I was less disappointed than I thought going to the game Friday and watching them lose. But, I mean, they put up a good effort, and that is a really good Boise State team. So, yeah, it sucked. But, I mean, I expect them to win out from here in the regular season. They have pretty easy games. They have to win the Nevada game, the rivalry week, win the Cannon. So, I just – hopefully the team has that morale as well.
Matt, react?
Well, I think at this point, to what you were saying, Alex, you know, 3-1 to me in these last four games is a worst case scenario. I think San Jose State on the road in the Bay Area is going to be a tough game. Ken Niumatalolo has been outstanding in his first year with the Spartans. The Rebels should win the rest of the three games at least. So 3-1, 4-0, I think is a very, very likely result. I think as long as Barry Odom is here, he's going to expect to win 9-10 games a season. And moving forward, you know, 2026 and beyond with the new look Mountain West coming into play, UNLV is going to be a big fish in a small pond, so to speak, as far as the teams that are remaining, the teams that are brought in. UNLV is going to be the biggest media market. They're going to have the best facilities for football, some of the best for basketball as well. And so they are kind of trying to transition into this mindset of, hey, you know, we were the doormat for a long time, especially in football. And that's not going to be the case anymore. I you know, great. It's what every program wants. It's what UNLV's been able to go out and do. And I think basketball, especially here in this market, makes such a big difference as far as the expectations and as far as the local hype. So I think that there is that pressure almost by default on the basketball team and on Coach Kruger as well to kind of follow up what Barry Odom and the football team have been doing. It's kind of one of those unspoken things that everybody kind of knows and kind of acknowledges even within both programs that they are tied at the hip just with the way that the Vegas basketball market is. A lot of the success of the program does rely on the success of the basketball team.
I wonder if Run Rebel fans are recalibrated a bit about the non-con, because I feel like every year – Rebel basketball fans are like, wait, what happened here? Like, they didn't go, you know, say there's 13 non-con, 11-2, they didn't go 12-1. Like, no. And now they have a real challenge in front of them, because these first two or three games without DJ Thomas, unless something, you know, really good happens here the next few days or so, this is not going to be easy. It is, but it will be a good test to find out position versatility, because other guys are going to have to handle the ball or else.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think we're going to see a lot of Brooklyn Hicks. I think that this is going to be an opportunity for him in his true sophomore season to really emerge as a go-to ball handler, a go-to guy to bring it up the floor, and at times the top scoring option. I mean, he's an all-time leader in scoring for his high school. He's one of the best three-point shooters out of the Seattle area. Over the last couple of years at this mid-major group of five level in college hoops. So I think with Jace Whiting being out a little bit as well, he's going to be on a minutes restriction to start the year. I think it's going to be a lot of Brooklyn Hicks, and DJ Thomas, I think, is going to be able to take some extra time and rest. It was an opportunity that he did not have last year. Remember, he was playing through that foot ankle injury for most of the season last year. That's what not a lot of people who were outside of the program on a day-to-day basis got to see, just how physically demanding last year was on DJ Thomas. So I think that he needs to be able to take whatever time he needs. I'm looking at the schedule right now. That matchup against Memphis while we're doing the football game in Hawaii on the 9th is going to be a big one. But really, up until the Thanksgiving trip, I'll say, it's not going to be a game where they will, at least on paper, you know, quote unquote, need him. And that's outside of that Memphis game. But I think they're going to be able to, if Whiting gets healthy and Hicks does what I think he's going to be able to do to start the year, they give DJ the opportunity to get healthy with a team that's going to have a lot more depth in the front court than we've seen over the last couple of years to supplement.
Matt, we appreciate it. Looking Happy forward to the trips coming up and the rest of the football season. I think it's going to be a good close here. And I agree with you. 3-1 at Min is the goal, but I don't agree that I actually think Reno is going to be a really tough game. So I think they've got some tough tests the rest of the way, but I trust that they're going to be focused for these games. And the player's goal now is to get to Boise in the Mountain West Conference championship game, and certainly root for CSU. And Fresno's got to get the hell out of the way as well. Matt, thank you.
Yep, looking forward to it. Red and Rebels kick off the season against Alabama State Monday, 8:30 tip. We'll take the air at 8 o'clock for the pregame show.
There is. Matt Neverett.
So you guys are going to Hawaii.
There is a Hawaii trip. I will sacrifice and do that trip. Yes. There's not a lot of time on the ground in Hawaii. Let's relax.
Yeah.
Relax. It's funny. I walked out of the house after prepping. I don't know why I had to say I prep at home. I just sit there all day and we just go off the cuff. But I was like, it's kind of chilly out. Boy, 82 would be nice. I'm trying to make the most of that trip.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good trip. You know you're going to have a good time.
I got to work on Friday. I can't go hog wild. Can't be doing luau's and getting all fat on, you know, whatever, Kahlua pig.
You'd be surprised how, you know, how much time you actually need to sneak in a little luau. It ain't gonna be an hour or 2 hours. You could probably do it in like 30 minutes.
I probably should do one. I think I've been to one. I should do that.
One. Yeah, you need to. You need to really.
Do they have breakfast luau's? Can you get the pig out of the ground? You cook it overnight? Actually, they might cook it for a couple of days, for all I know.
The method of cooking for people, you know, of the Polynesian culture or any of the cultures, the islanders, it's a little rough watching the pig get prepared, but they can cook.
I have no problem with it.
Yeah, you ever see one of them?
I'm not doing it. I'm not chopping it up. Throwing it in the ground, but I'll eat. After they can show it to me. I don't care.
Yeah, of course.
I dig on swine.
One of my teammates back in the day during my ball playing time, they showed me videos. I even saw once them put the pig in the bucket.
Oh, and the whole shebang?
Mm-hmm. It was crazy to watch, but I'm not going to turn down that food. Some of the best food in the world.
I'm ready. Again, I'm going to tell them I will make the sacrifice. I'll make the sacrifice. That is a big game, though. You know, all joking aside, you come off a break. That's always an interesting trip. Hawaii actually is playing pretty decent football. It was the backup quarterbacks for Reno who, you know, got the business from Hawaii. But that could be a dangerous spot. Ask Marcus Arroyo and his staff. Right. That was the game that kind of did them in, because if they had won that game, they may have gotten another year. I won't say that they would still be around. I like those guys, so I don't want to badmouth them. But they went down there. There were some distractions before the game. That's the key. When you go down, don't enjoy Hawaii too much.
Yep.
I can. Matt can. Anyone else? Right? I only can. We'll get into that. That'll be a future thing with Caleb. He's added some complications to the trip. On the way back, horrifying fan story. Right now, World Series, Yankees are leading this 4-0. Where are we? Bottom two or bottom three? I lost track. That was a long conversation. We had a good conversation with Matt. But Yankees are leading it. Aaron Judge is back at the plate. We'll get an update on what Judge does and close it out.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
College basketball season starting up next week. We got a double dip at T-Mobile Arena Hall of Fame series. South Carolina women are playing Ohio State and Texas on the men's side. 4:30 the start for the double dip. You can get your tickets at AXS.com. Caller 7 right now for college basketball to open the season at the Fortress. 364-1100, 364-1100. In the bag?
Stick your hand in there, dude.
So I was talking about really abhorrent fan behavior. And it actually happened at home. So we've got a situation. I'm a Yankees fan. The significant other is a Dodgers fan. And it's 3-0. You know, obviously, Yankees are dead and buried. And every time the Yankees scored last night, she's like, oh, good job. And I was like, stop doing that. I'm like, I'm going to bring this back. When you lose this series and you didn't take game 4 seriously, and you were nice, I'm like, don't be nice. I don't need you to be nice. We've never really had this situation before because she's a Chargers fan. I'm a Jets fan. They've played head-to-head. More often than not, the Chargers have slaughtered the Jets. But neither one of them have been, you know, championship contenders, and they didn't meet in a championship. Like, this is real now, okay? You don't have to be nice. Because the screws are going to get turned here if the Yankees, it's going to the third. I'm sorry, I mis-ID'd the inning earlier, but if the Yankees win this and it's going back to Dodgerland, it's on.
How were those first three games for you, though? Brutal? Did she do her fair share of talking men?
I worked half. Well, they were on the weekend. I was working a lot of the time, so I stayed away. I would just text and be like, "Eh, good job." But like, there's no good job anymore. You're about to for Dodger fans. You don't need to be nice. You're on the verge of winning a championship. You don't get this done. This is like an all-time collapse. Believe me, I still have never watched any of the documentaries on the Red Sox in 2004. Never. I'm never going to watch it. And I admit, it's a great story. There were amazing storylines around it. I'm never watching it because it eats me to this day. I hate it. Yeah. Don't be nice. So we go back to the beginning of the show. Be tough. Be a passionate sports fan. Curse at people if you want. Don't grab them, though.
Yes.
Let's not grab wrist and gloves. Don't grab them. All right, we are out of here. We're back tomorrow. Circa Halloween, baby!